James O'Brien on LBC.
It's 10 minutes to 11. You are listening to LBC, where our investigation has revealed police are currently looking into over 7,000 cases of suspected child sex abuse in England and Wales. A staggering number, but one that, if you've been listening to this programme recently, might shock you a little less than it will shock others, because every time we scratch the surface of these stories, we frankly marvel in the worst imaginable way at the number of people affected. I came on air at 10 o'clock this morning and set my stall out, as I always do, and within 10 minutes you're listening to Laura in Bromley tell a tale of unimaginable horror, groomed by her own mother to be raped by a paedophile. And she was answering the question of how people can look the other way, not just the people who are close to the abuser, but the people who are, in a sense, turned to by the abusee. It's something which my studio guest Tom Perry from the organisation Mandate Now knows an awful lot about. And I know that you're going to the Home Office tomorrow to give them a steer on what's going wrong.
Yes, I've been invited. I was invited to the meeting last Friday, and I couldn't go. I knew that there were two. I'm going to the one tomorrow. And I think, really, it is a question of the... we're listening to you.
Yes.
You know, I hope they don't come armed with ear defenders. I seriously do hope they listen. Because I had a politician on the phone to me the other night, a Conservative politician, who very kindly gave me a call at about 9 o'clock. And I tried to make it clear that at the moment, you know, they're writing the manual of how to screw it up at every point.
Are they really?
Yeah, really.
So it's not just journalese when we get...
No, it's not just journalese, but this is my opinion.
Of course it is, and it's worth more than most people's I've heard on this issue. But I'm thinking of Fiona Wolf, I'm thinking of... The failure to put someone in the driving seat.
This is quite spectacularly incompetent, and I'm really saddened by it.
But incompetent is a charitable interpretation. It doesn't involve deliberate.
I've got no other reason. I'm not a conspiracist.
No, of course.
Okay? And I look at what I see, and this is just spectacular incompetence.
Okay.
Okay. Which I hope we're going to see change pretty smartly. And the one thing they need to start doing is understanding the people for whom this inquiry is being held. And very interestingly, at the meeting last Friday, Ben Emerson, QC for the inquiry, asked whether of those guests that were there, said, "Do you want this to be a statutory inquiry?" They went round the room, and it was a unanimous vote. Now here's the shock of it all. Within that vote was the chief executive officer of the NSPCC. I have to say, everybody almost fell over, I understand. So even the NSPCC is saying this should be statutory. You cannot drag the files of child abuse from the bottom of the lake with a panel inquiry that's got the power of a butter pat. You can't do it. And so, therefore, this is doomed. There are two other countries in which child abuse inquiries are running at the moment. Northern Ireland, the Hart Inquiry, and they've got the Royal Commission in Australia, both of which are statutory. Both countries adopted the absolutely failed English child protection system. Both have... inquiries, but there's a statutory.
The difference being, that you, with a statutory inquiry, you can run, but you can't hide.
What you have is the power of contempt.
Yes.
And we keep hearing from the Home Secretary, they have the power to compel. Great. Well, I compel you to come and give evidence, James. So you turn up with four files. You've got one piece of paper in each file. You say, well, that doesn't look like the full lot of files. Well, it is. Well, where do we go now?
Yes.
We can convert it to a statutory inquiry. Well, that's no good because at the moment, a panel inquiry, you can appoint Coco the Clown as the chair.
Yes.
Okay? If you have a statutory inquiry, you've got to appoint a judge.
Yes.
You've got to be judge-led. So if suddenly you've got Coco the Clown sitting there and it's converted to a statutory inquiry, you're going off-piste completely.
Yes, yes.
So this is quite unsatisfactory. I sincerely hope this has got on track.
And tomorrow will be a crucial part that process, perhaps.
I think it'll be a component of that process.
What about Theresa May, Tom? Because her statement to the Commons on Monday was, to my untutored eyes, very impressive. She seems a woman of sincerity, and you describe so far a catalogue of incompetence, which is, as you point out, not the same as alleging conspiracy or anything like that. You spoke then in a way that just gave me an image of her feeling around in the dark for the right thing to do, rather than knowing the right thing to do and choosing not to.
I have to tell you, that's actually, that's an astute question. You know, I've gone in and out of various departments, principally the Department for Education, which is allegedly responsible for child protection, on quite a few occasions. And I've looked at the workings of this, and I've been fortunate enough, as you know, James, I was invited to meet Mr. Gove, and 7 weeks later he described my argument for mandatory reporting as compelling in the House in an answer to a question from Tom Watson. So I've watched the workings of it with some interest. And these issues are in the control of the civil servants that sit behind the scene. And what you then have is Mrs. May or the minister coming out and spouting those words.
Right.
And I don't say that pejoratively.
Of course.
It's not possible for Mrs. May to be over all the detail. But this is on advice from her civil servants behind the scenes, the ones who were putting in 7 amendments to Fiona Wolfe's letter.
Yes.
So therefore, then, these people are clearly not child abuse literate.
And they're also subject to what you've been describing all morning in terms of the self-preservation, the culture of protectionism, the culture...
All of the above. All of the above. So therefore, we're starting, very sadly, we're starting on the wrong foot. And it's been on the wrong foot since day one. And we're all praying that it starts to get on the right foot and they start communicating with us, listening, and hopefully engaging. And that's the that's our hope.
How much hope have you got? I don't like to hear you using words like pray.
Ah. Well...
Take your time.
One of our number put an article in the Guardian comment page. You will read our position there. His name is Jonathan West. Jonathan did a very good article. He attended the meeting last Friday. And, you know, we want everyone to be engaged, the abusees. I am terribly concerned that that's not going to happen. And then where do we go? If the abusees do not engage, this whole show is a dead duck. Now, I'm sure there will be people betting on this and thinking, well, they will turn up.
Mm.
You know, eventually they will, on our terms. I personally wouldn't want to put money on that. I really wouldn't. And I'm saddened by that.
And that's why we will continue to leave the door of this studio open for as long as you need it or want it, Tom Perry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tom Perry from Mandate Now, providing some much-needed insight into a story that continues to, shock and dismay on an equal level. We began our conversation this morning, of course, looking at the question of how people can look the other way when they find themselves confronted with evidence of or suspicions of this sort of behaviour. And before Tom joined us, a number of you were lining up to share your thoughts and, like Laura in Bromley, your experiences on that. You'll understand why I'm going to continue that conversation rather than curtailing it merely for the purposes of the time. And I hope it doesn't sound inappropriate when I remind you that from 12 noon on Thursdays, we lighten the tone.